Thank you. Well, it's the first time I think that I have so much time for 15 and 16, so I'm going to indulge. And it says a lot about the way that you articulated your answers and really responding to the point, so there are no follow-up questions, and I thank you for that. I also thank you for bringing tears into your opening statement. I have an article on called Crying on Campus, arguing that crying is a test for a feminist and humanist world, so thank you for that as well. But I'm doing the family court system, so you yourself acknowledge that this is repeatedly a broken one, and we realize in more and more countries that family courts has failed to deliver the promise they were supposed to deliver when they established, so I'm gonna push on that. In Article 435 of its report, the State Party declares, and I quote, the government currently has a multi-year work program underway to transform the family justice system with several components which I will not detail. Taking into account the repeated attempts to fix the family court system, we would appreciate any information on the success of the current attempt, and in particular on the questions of measuring and assessing the success through a gender lens. In particular, in April 2023, the Ministry of Justice published a new, and I quote, range of resources to help parents understand the options available to them when making decisions about post-separation parental arrangements and other family court-related matters. Were these resources designed through a gender lens? For example, I could not find a file discussing domestic violence and its impact on procedures and decision-making related to separation and parental arrangement. According to NGOs, notwithstanding the efforts made by the State Party, there is still a shortage of family law legal aid providers, especially in remote regions. How can the State Party encourage lawyers in remote areas to take upon themselves legal aid cases, especially when domestic violence is involved? Is gendered labor division between parents before the separation taking into consideration in post-separation parental arrangements? Or do judges and mediators push for equal parental time? NGOs claim that research has shown that the family court idealized shared parental time between separating parents. Does the State Party have data on child support sums ordered for fathers in the past 5 or 10 years? Is there a decline? Research from several countries demonstrate that when family court idealizes shared care of children between separating parents, the sums of child support shrinks. NGOs argue that, and I quote, despite expert seminars being organized, the family court continues to operate under an outdated belief that children who have been exposed to domestic violence remain safe with the violent parent. They also claim that although New Zealand's family laws do not refer to parental alienation syndrome theory, the government claimed that it understands the theory has been widely discredited, lawyers, judges, and therapeutic professionals continue to rely on allegations of parental alienation and associated terms in response to women's application for orders to protect themselves and their children in family court proceedings. In this context, I believe that you mentioned some 400 professionals within the family courts system undergo training on domestic violence this morning. What is done so all family court judges, mediators, navigators, and court associates trained on this acute problem? In fact, don't you think that such training should be a condition for them working in the judicial system? What other measures are taken to protect all women and children from violent spouses and fathers during and after family law proceedings? Please clarify if the Family Proceedings Dissolution of Family Violence Amendment Bill is still pending. And how does the State Party plan to address NGOs' concern that it will be used against victims and survivors of domestic violence who legitimately file several claims? As to family property, were the recommendations of the 2019 Review of the Property Act implemented? And how does the State Party address the empirically proven risk of poverty for women and children after parental separation? And is there any updated data on that risk? In relation to all these points, does the State Party conduct or plans to conduct a study on the outcomes of the 2023 reform? Finally, in relation to religious family law, In relation to religious marriage and divorce, does the state party plan to discuss, including with relevant NGOs, ways to assist women who are trapped in a religious marriage, who cannot obtain a religious divorce, or who experience forced divorce? For example, by adopting the New York solution for Jewish women and conditioning the civil divorce and its property outcomes by the religious one. And do you know of any discriminatory practice emerging from discriminatory inheritance law in certain communities and families? What do you do to find out about these practices and to address them? Thank you very much.